And Dr. Patterson, thank you for the privilege of being here. Whenever I got the invitation, I didn't have to think very long about whether or not I wanted to come, because it is such a treat, an incredible pleasure, to come and share with you in these chapel services. This is not your normal chapel services. Dave Smith and I went to Southwestern, and our chapel services there were a whole lot different than they are here. And so it's a real treat. I was highly motivated to come. Now, some people, it takes a whole lot to get them to do what they really need to do and what they should do, kind of like this guy who went to his pastor and said, you know, I just can't seem to get a date. And this guy was as big as a barn. And the pastor asked him, have you thought about trying to lose a little bit of weight? He said, I've tried that. I've done everything. I can't lose any weight. He said, well, I've got an idea. Here's what I want you to do. In the morning, I want you to wake up at 8 o'clock, be ready at your place to run. He said, now, I've already tried jogging. I can't do it. It just doesn't work for me. I've tried all the exercise programs. It doesn't work. He said, I think this will. Be ready at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, he got a knock on the door at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he opens the door. He's ready to run. He's in his jogging suit, and there stands the most beautiful woman he has ever seen in his life. She is a babe. She goes to school here, does she? And so she says, the pastor told me to tell you that if you can catch me, you can marry me. And she takes off running. He takes off after her. And this goes on day after day, week after week, month after month. Every 8 o'clock, she's there. She starts running. He chases her. Well, he is slimming down, losing weight like crazy, and he is a lean, mean machine. And that day, he almost called her. And so he just knew the next day he would. So he is highly motivated that next day. Knock on the door, 8 o'clock, he opens it up, and there is the biggest woman he has ever seen in his life. She has had one too many Twinkies, if you know what I mean. And she says to him, the pastor told me to tell you, if I can catch you, I can marry you. And he takes off running. And I think he's running still to this day. Now, I don't know what it takes to motivate you, but I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for us. And so what I'd like to speak to you about today is how to pursue the potential that God has given you. Now, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1 exactly what we need to see to engage that, to experience that, and to enjoy that. You see, the Christian life is a life of victory in the battles of life. It's exactly what God desires and has designed our lives to be. But the trouble is, most of us aren't experiencing that kind of life. And a lot of us have settled for a whole lot less than God's best for our life. He wants us to experience an abundant life that truly is an overcoming life and that is a fulfilled life. And the book of Joshua gives us insight into how to be an overcoming believer regardless of what life may throw our way. And it talks about how to move out of spiritual defeat and depression and disillusionment and despair into a life of victory and joy and fulfillment and power. Now, you'll remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, it says, He brought us out that He might bring us in. God brought them out of Egypt so that He might bring them into that promised land. And that's what His desire was. That's what His design was. And the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 15 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 11, that the things that happened to the children of Israel were examples. They were for our admonition. They were to instruct us. And so you can see pictures in the Old Testament of New Testament truth. For example, Egypt is a picture of a land of the lost under a heavy, cruel taskmaster named Satan. The only way you can ever get out of the land of the lost is by way of the blood of the Lamb. And the people of God went out of that spiritual slavery and physical slavery by way of that Passover Lamb. Now, God's design was to bring them to Canaan, but they made some bad choices. And those choices brought with them some very severe consequences. And so they wandered around in the wilderness. Now, they were out of the land of bondage. They had been set free. But they were not experiencing the fullness of life as God desired because of their disobedience, because of their detour spiritually. And so the wilderness is a picture of somebody that has been saved, but he's living beneath his privilege. He's not living in the fullness of blessing that God desires. He's not living a spirit-controlled life. He's frustrated. He's floundering. And his life literally has little fruit. But he knows there's got to be more. And there is. There's Canaan. Now, Canaan is not a picture of heaven, because there are giants in the land. There are strongholds in the land. And so it's a picture of the spirit-controlled life, the spirit-filled life. And as a believer, we're either in the carnality of wilderness life or we're in the fullness of life in a Canaan spirit-controlled life. Now, the New Testament describes our Canaan experience in terms of us being overcomers and conquerors and saints. And let me tell you, dear friend, there is a potential within this very room that God wants every one of us to pursue, and that is to settle for nothing less than God's best for us. I don't know about you. I want a Canaan life. I have had enough of a wilderness. I want the fullness of life that the Lord Jesus desires for me. The presence and the power and the promises of God all becoming yes and amen in such a tangible way that my life is literally transformed from glory to glory. But that's going to require four simple things. Number one, it's going to require that I have a new dedication. A new dedication. Look with me at Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying these things. Now, God was telling Joshua, the key to you getting in and fulfilling your potential and experiencing the success and prosperity that I desire for you is going to be based on your dedication to know and obey my word. And these verses give us three principles we must be dedicated to follow if we're going to experience the fullness of our potential as God desires. Number one is obedience. He says in verse 8, you're to be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now, God doesn't give us scriptural knowledge just for information's sake. He is not interested in simply satisfying our curiosity or scratching our intellectual itch. God is interested in our obedience. And you see, God wanted Joshua simply to cooperate with him, and that would lead to success. God had already given the land, but Joshua had to walk across it before he received it. And listen to me, he was given only as much as he walked across. Same's true for us. God gives you only as much as you're willing to walk across in obedience. But he also needed trust. Look in verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In other words, just believe me, Joshua. I've got everything under control. There's nothing for you to worry about. There's nothing for you to get uptight about. Don't wig out regardless of what comes your way. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Trust me. Stay your focus on me and what I've promised and who I am. Joshua could take the land because God had already given it to him. And therefore, he could obey God in trust. And disobedience in any measure is always a lack of trust. But he needed a third thing. That was to stay under authority, to be under authority. Because in verse 10, it says that Joshua then commanded the officers of the people. God had already promised, I'm going to be with you as the leader. Moses is dead. I know you're just a rookie, but I'm going to be with you too. And the people, I'm going to be with them. And so Joshua just believes God, and he acts instantly. You see, authority's been granted to him. And so he exercises authority. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are to have authority, we must always be under authority. If you don't have any authority in your life or in the lives of your family or your children, it may well be simply because you're out from underneath the authority of Christ who gives you authority. And it's going to require a dedication to these three things, but he goes on and he says it's also going to require a new diet. If I'm going to fulfill my potential, I've got to have a new diet in my life. Verse 11, he says, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you'll cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now he says there's some things you need to prepare. The crossover. Crossover what? The Jordan River. But he didn't tell them to prepare a boat, nor a bridge. He told them to prepare bread. They needed nourishment. You see, in the wilderness years, God had provided manna. And you know what manna means. It means, what is this? And it was this dry, coarse, hard bread. It wasn't steak and shrimp. It was manna. And manna was to sustain them, but it was never intended to satisfy them. And the wilderness provisions would not be adequate to conquer and settle into this new land. And so they would need more to overcome these giants and the walls of resistance that they would face. And let me tell you, friend, you're not going to be able to claim, you're not going to be able to conquer your Canaan and experience and enjoy all the fullness of the victory over all the strongholds in the domain of darkness that you will encounter in ministry. You will face these strategic strongholds, but you won't be able to face them with victory on a desert diet. You've got to upgrade your diet. You've got to increase your intake spiritually to function in the potential as a conqueror. What I'm talking about is your personal time with the Lord. Don't ever let your studies become a substitute for your time with God. Don't lose sight of the disciplines. Maintain a posture of intimacy with the Lord. Fasting, praying, seeking God's face on a day-by-day basis, and you watch how God will fulfill your potential. You see, the present strength and the stamina that you have in the conflicts of life are determined by the quality of the spiritual nourishment that you've been receiving from God. And the level of your spiritual strength that you have right now must increase to continue to be the conqueror God wants you to be. You've got to grow spiritually. You can't stay where you are. And there's some common misconceptions about spiritual growth that we've got to clarify. One is, spiritual growth is not a matter of how long you've been saved. I'm telling you, I've known some people who have been saved as long as Methuselah, and they're not mature. They're not spiritually strong. They've grown very little. And then I've known some people who've been saved for just a brief period of time, and yet they're growing like wildfire. You see, certainly there is a factor in spiritual growth that demands time, but it is not the factor. Let me tell you another misconception. It's having theological knowledge translated as spiritual maturity. Just because you have theological knowledge doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. It is not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. Another misconception is thinking that the more active you are in ministry, the more spiritual you are. But let me tell you, the Pharisees were intensely busy, but they were not spiritual. Spiritual growth is a matter of us being exposed to the Word of God, engaging it by ingesting it as spiritual nourishment, and expressing that truth in practical living. And if we're going to progress and claim all that God has for us as His children, we've got to increase our diet. If we're going to claim our Canaan and pursue our potential, we've got to get off a desert diet. You've got to intensify the feasting off of God's Word, but that requires, thirdly, a new thing. If I'm going to pursue my potential, I need a new dependency. Look in verse 11. Pass through the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you'll cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. There'd be a 3-day delay. Now, there had already been a 40-year delay. But now, another 3 days. You know what that tells me? God's never in a hurry. Never in a hurry. Why did he delay? It was simple. He was wanting to intensify their dependency. Now, what did they do during this particular time, the people of God? Well, they just watched. They were doing exactly what they had been told to do. They had moved to this posture to where they were about to move into the greatest era of their history. And now he says, wait. And while they're waiting, things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. The river is rising right before their eyes, rising to flood stage. No boat, no bridge, and you want us to cross that? And God was just simply letting the impossibility of the task sink into their minds. Has God ever dealt with you that way? I mean, there you are at the Jordan River of your life. You're looking at this impossible situation that's getting more and more impossible. And you're crying out to God to deliver you. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And you're wondering, how could God love me? Why did he leave me here? And yet refuse to deal with this problem, to remove it. No boat, no bridge. And after a while, we understand, we better download this. Apart from God, there is no solution. Your gimmicks won't work. All your creativity's dried up. You're left with only the supernatural presence and power of God. And with God, timing is more important than time. I want you to notice how their dependency was expressed. You see it in Joshua chapter 3. I don't have time to read all the passages there, but if you'll look at it, here's what you'll see. Here they are, poised. They're positioned for great blessings. And now they were told, put the Ark of the Covenant at the front of the people. They had had it all along. It had been with them, going along with them. But now it was in front of them, in the place of preeminence. And they were to follow it. It was to be kept in their sight at all times. And whenever the priests carrying the ark went down into that swollen river, the Bible says those waters halted, rose up in a heap, and the entire nation walked across on dry ground. Now that Old Testament ark, again, was a picture of our Lord Jesus. He is our ark of our new covenant. And they were to follow the ark courageously and consistently, if they were to claim the spiritual blessings God had for them. And we must follow our Ark of the Covenant, our Lord Jesus, if we're going to get in on all that he has for us. They weren't to depend on Joshua to lead them. They were to depend upon the leadership of the living God. You see, it's not a matter of who's leading you. It's a matter of who's leading your leader. That's the key. And notice they all had to pass through this difficult crisis of the Jordan River. They couldn't go over it. They couldn't go around it. They all had to go through it. But that's where the ark was, right in the middle. You know what you're going to discover? As God supernaturally opens the way for you to move forward to pursue your potential and claim your blessing, you're going to find Jesus was there all along. He never left you. He never forsook you. The question was, having been there all the time, were you following him? Were you allowing things to distract you from keeping your eyes on him? I don't think you'll ever know how real Jesus can be to you until you're in the middle of an unconquerable problem. And that prepares you for even greater battles because, you see, if you encounter him in your flooded river, here's what you're going to discover. He can handle any other giant that comes your way, any other stronghold that comes your way. He'll be able to defeat. But it also is insistent that we have a new determination if we're going to pursue our potential. A new dependency and a new diet and a new dedication are absolutely essential. We've got to download that into our life. But there's also got to be a new determination. Look at verse 12. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Now, verses 12 through 18 is where Joshua is honoring a decision made by Moses. While Moses was still alive, the tribes in verse 12 somehow, some way, became enchanted with this side of the wilderness, close to the Jordan River, close to the Promised Land, but still in the wilderness. It was fertile, and they wanted to settle there. They preferred it. Moses angrily bargains with them to fight, and then they could go back, and they agreed, and so now Joshua's reminding them this. But here's the principle we've got to see. If we're going to pursue our potential, if we're going to move beyond the mundaneness of mediocrity in ministry, we've got to grasp this principle. God lets you choose the level of your Christian experience. If you want the wilderness, He'll let you have it. If you want to settle for less than His best, He'll let you do it. He's not going to force you to enter into victory. The wilderness is what you want. It's what you'll get. I've pastored for 27 years, and I'm telling you, I have met a lot of the descendants of those tribes. In every church I've ever pastored, oh, they share their portion of the fighting. They come to church, and then they go home to a spiritual wilderness, settling for far less than God's intended best. And they support the budget, building programs, Bible study. They even support the pastor and attend worship regularly, but whenever 12 o'clock comes, they tuck their Bibles under their arms and they just plod wearily back to a barren, defeated, frustrated life. Wilderness. Interestingly, those 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they were the first to be conquered and carried away into captivity whenever Assyria attacked later on. Whenever the real testing comes, the first to falter and fail are those who've settled for wilderness wandering rather than pursuing their potential. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't have to be that way. We can claim our victory that the Lord Jesus has secured for us, regardless of what the circumstances may be. There may be battles. There may be giants. You may have some friends and some foes who are saying, you can't take it. There's no way you're going to experience victory. Don't listen to that. God lets you choose. If you want victory, you can have victory. Just keep your eyes on the ark. While the river's rising, it's not getting better. You're doing everything you know to do to obey God. But things aren't getting better. It's getting worse. Let me just tell you, God's about to supernaturally part the waters and help you to walk forward on dry, conquered ground to let you into your Canaan. So let me ask you, where are you? I mean, you're so close, but you've settled for the frustration, the fruitlessness, the floundering around of the wilderness instead of the joy and the vitality and the victory of Canaan, a spirit-controlled life. Joshua was an incredible spiritual leader. He was an intense military leader. General Douglas MacArthur says he's one of the greatest military leaders of all time. But he knew who he was fighting for, and he wasn't going to settle for anything less than God's best. I don't know about you and where you are, but I'm going to make my declaration this morning. I am a soldier of the living God. I'm going to claim my Canaan. I'm claiming my Canaan because the Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are the weapons of my warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit. I have been trained by experience. I have been tried by adversity. I have been tested by fire. And I'm a volunteer in this army. And I've enlisted for eternity. I will retire either in this army at the rapture, or I will die in this army, but I will not get out, I will not sell out, or I will not be talked out. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be capable and dependable by His might, and if my God needs me, I'm going to be there. I'm a soldier. I am not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, primed up, picked up, pumped up, or pepped up because I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in my place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. I'm a soldier. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I'm committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. And when Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end with nothing, then I will still come out even. But I'm going to win. My God's going to supply all my needs. I'm more than a conqueror. I will always triumph in Christ Jesus because I can do all things through Him. I'm a soldier. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell can't handle me. I'm a child of the King. I'm claiming my Canaan. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commanding officer calls me from this battlefield, he's going to promote me to a captain and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I'm a soldier in the army of my living God. I'm marching and claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier pursuing my potential, claiming my Canaan. Who will stand with me? Here I stand.